We'll move it. I just feel far away up here, but it's good to see you. Good morning, everybody. Good? Welcome, family. Yeah? What a big day, huh? Proud of you, girl. You really shine, too. You do. You just shine. Doesn't she shine? I like it. It's scriptural to shine, you know. He said, you are the light of the world. You know, I'm like, well, Jesus, I thought you were the light of the world. Yeah, and I put my spirit in you. Now it's your turn. Tag, you're it. I'm going to go sit with the Father. You're going to represent me. Come on. You can get religious. You can get religious. You can just do church, talk all about him, sing all about him, and never pursue to know him and manifest him and make him known in your sphere of influence. Come on. That's not a hard hit. Don't get quiet on me. Y'all went, man. No, it's true. You can do church or you can be her. He paid a price for you to be her. The Bible says you are the light of the world. That's what he said to us. Jesus said it. Jesus said it. It's red letters. He said, so let your light so shine before men, so that men see your life and bring glory to God and give glory to the Father. That means he's given us this great privilege to yield to him and surrender to him and truly submit to him, so that who he is can live in us and we can live from that place where actually our life brings a revelation of the Father to the lives of others, puts a vital seed in their heart that can change them forever. Listen, when you're done wrong and you don't live done wrong, you're shining. When you're mistreated and you don't live mistreated, you're shining. Why? Because you have a higher revelation than being mistreated. Because you've been treated so right, it's just greater. And you understand that it's not about people doing you right. He's done you right for you to live from the place he lives. Jesus wasn't done right. Jesus wasn't done right. He was done really wrong. And man, you just couldn't change him. You couldn't break him. You couldn't shift him. You couldn't shape him. He's already shaped. He's already solid. He said, I know where I came from. I know where I'm going. When you see me, you're seeing him. And they just kept doing him wrong. They said, you're blaspheming. You're a heretic. You're from the devil. You ain't right. And they killed him for it, and they still couldn't change him. I don't know about you, but he invited me to follow him. I don't want to just get caught up singing songs to him, which isn't what you did this morning. You do way more than sing a song to him, girl. I love your heart. There's a difference. Don't get caught just singing a song to him. Please don't get caught just writing a list and praying it to him. Get to know him and get who he is on the inside of you by faith, by surrender, by the secret place of praying and yielding and submitting, kneeling down when nobody's looking. Yeah? And telling him you're serious and you're in and you're for real. And you'll love your own life unto death. You ain't trying to make it. You've already made it in him. Guys, if we get this, we already won. I am not trying to get through my life. I want to shine along the way because then it'll matter. I'm not in survival mode. I'm not here just for his protection, provision, and blessing. I'm here for his nature, his love, his ways, his wisdom, and I want it coming this way. Yeah? Come on. It's just too easy to get religious. It's just too easy to do the Jesus thing and not do the Jesus thing. Let your light so shine before men so they see your life lived is what it means. Listen, if they can't see him in you, they don't want what you say. But if they see him in you, their ears and hearts are open wide. The loudest sermon we'll ever preach is the life we live and the way that we respond to life that's coming at us. So many people are carrying what they've been through and wearing it on their sleeve. We're created to carry what he's been through and wear it on our sleeve. Come on. I can read you 1 Peter 2. It says, when you suffer for doing something you did wrong and you suffer for it, take it patiently. Well, you ought to. That's literally what it says. It says, but when you suffer for doing good and you take it patiently, it's commendable before God. Now, let me play with you a little and get real with you, and we'll all uncomfortably chuckle a little bit. In your life, when you meant well and somebody called your well evil, you freaked out because you knew you didn't mean that and you meant right and you want everybody to know that. You say, I didn't mean that. I didn't say that. Oh, you know you would. I did not. I meant, man, this ain't right. And you freak out. When your good got called evil. Woo! Self-defense big time. The Bible says when you suffer for doing good and you take it patiently, not call a friend and rant, not let it change your disposition and dominate your emotions. When you take it patiently and understand people just ain't seeing it clear. Somebody judged your heart. Oops. Oh, well, don't you lose the image of God and the nature of Jesus over somebody's blunder. Don't you let what they don't see become your highest vision. Don't you ever let life speak louder than truth. And please don't get tricked letting what you're going through decide who you are and how you are when you got something so amazing on the inside. Come on, all I'm talking is Christianity. This is called living by faith. This is called believing God in the face of it all. In the face of things that are real, that have real ramifications, that actually have real initial feelings. We ain't talking about stuffing feelings. We ain't talking about living like a robot. We're talking about being believers. Actually being surrendered and being submitted and being committed. Actually living this thing like they did in the old days in the old covenant. It just fascinates me. Hebrews 11, you ought to read it over and over. It fascinates me how these men and people and women live that didn't have the Bible, that didn't have the Spirit of God on the inside, but they saw something far off and said, it's worth giving my life for it, even though I don't get it yet and don't see it totally yet. I see it enough that I'm going to lay down my life for it. It says they wandered around. They were forsaken by the earth and the world. The world wasn't even worthy, it says, of these people. I mean, they were getting sawn in two. Wonder if they were sawing us in two in America. Wonder if they just bust in here and arrest most of us and take us away and beat me and Pastor and Rashida for being leaders and being the instigators. Wonder if that was happening. I wonder how zealous we would be. Man, we ought to be thankful. We got so much liberty and so much freedom. We ought to be tearing it up, man. We ought to be letting our light so shine. You're not putting no basket over it through offense, putting a basket over it through discouragement, throwing a basket over it through my circumstances, situation, wonder where God's been and why he ain't changing nothing. I've been praying and praying and praying. I wonder when I'm going to catch a break. You caught a break. You were guilty and got washed completely clean. You couldn't pay the debt you owed, and he forgave it and said, come on in, come on home. Better yet, I'll live inside of you. I'll put my life in you. Would you do one thing for me? Let your light so shine. Let your light shine ain't discouragement. It ain't anger. It ain't frustration. It ain't complaining. It ain't backbiting. Whew, are you all right? I'm sorry. I'm a little intense. I'm happy, though. Can you see I'm happy? I ain't mad at nobody. He gave his life for this thing. I don't want to get caught religious. I don't want to do him and not know him. I don't want to do church and not be her. I want my life to matter. I want my life to have impact. I want somebody to meet me and talk to me that I haven't even had much time with. And when I walk away and they walk away, they say, there was something about that man. There was something in his eyes. There was something in his tone. I don't know what was happening when he was talking to me, but man, it just meant something. I want to sit on an airplane and leave, and I want them to remember our conversation. Because I ain't hurt. I ain't travel weary. I ain't mad the guy tried to get in front of me to get his bag in, and now I can't get my bag in. I don't care about nothing like that. I ain't here for convenience. I'm here for his glory. This is Christianity. I ain't preaching nothing new. It's all through the book. I'm just preaching what it means to be saved. And somehow we made saved all about our blessing and our well-being and protecting everything we care about. And if that don't happen, we're a wreck. And we got questions. We don't even know where God is, and we're wondering who he is. I've heard Christians say, I don't even know if I believe in God anymore. I'm thinking, well, then you must have never knew him, because how can you not believe in somebody you knew? How can you not believe in somebody you knew? Maybe our highest goal isn't needing him. Maybe our highest goal is knowing him. Maybe Jesus said eternal life. Maybe Jesus didn't say eternal life is praying a prayer so you set yourself for heaven when the bell rings. Maybe Jesus did say eternal life is knowing him, the only true God, and his son, Jesus Christ. Talk about relationship, ain't he? Talk about him living on the inside. Ain't talking about positional theology. He's talking about knowing him. Ain't talking about a confession. He's talking about a relationship and a revelation. You all good? You quiet? I'm on it this morning. I feel it. I feel Jesus. I do. I feel this. And it don't even hurt that bad. It's like, yeah. 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 I can feel it in the room. It don't hurt. It's life-giving. Why would you hear something like this and want anything else? Why would we sell cheap when we're not for sale? We've been bought with a price and we're not our own. I would love if we would all get bold with ourselves and say, man, talk to ourselves. Where do you even have the right to feel that way after all he's done and what he's called you to? Where do you even have the right to think that way and make that decision and talk that way? What are you doing? Trying to bring him into your life and not give him your life. Trying to mix this thing, the old and the new. I wish we'd get strong with ourselves and be our best accountability partner instead of having, well, I wish you'd call me every day, keep me on track. Keep yourself on track. Be your own best accountability partner. Hold yourself accountable. Guard your own heart. Keep your conscience clear. See, because when you don't do that, you don't have a good view of yourself, so you lose your confidence. When your conscience and your heart doesn't condemn and violate you, you have confidence before God. And you know what you pray, you're receiving. When your heart violates you and your heart condemns you, you got to know he's greater than your heart. But here's what I've learned. People that live with a violated heart and conscience shipwreck their faith and don't have intimacy with God. Because they don't feel like they have the right to be alone with him or in his presence. And they get super self-conscious. And all they think about is what they ain't doing right instead of what he's done to make it right. I've pastored for a little while. I've watched people that have good hearts get in a rut. And they ain't evil. They're being deceived. Sometimes you make one mistake and you don't know how to recover from it. You condemn yourself when he's saying, come on home. Come on. If that way you're thinking ain't producing life, if it ain't stirring your heart, you ain't thinking him. He came to give you life and life more abundantly. Why am I preaching this on a Sunday morning on this big day for Miss Rashida? Because the only reason we truly gather is to stir ourselves in love and good works. It's why we do service. People out there church shopping, pastors trying to provide the product they're looking for. If things change, they ain't satisfied, they'll just shop some more. And I'm asking you this morning, is that you? Or are you committed? Are you laying down your life to shine? Are you taking account of suffered wrongs? Or are you walking in love and covering it all through the way he lives? And the way he sees. There were so many times in our life, and at one point in our life, where we needed unconditional love and mercy, right? I know we say we still always need it, and we do. But God wants to change us. Let's stop thinking our old resume is our tomorrow. Let's stop thinking our old performance is something we're stuck with and God just endures us. He transforms us. I do not have the heart I had 26 years ago. I didn't have the capacity to love you. You would not have invited me to your church. And I promise you, I ain't here because I'm a preacher, called to be a preacher. You can be a preacher and not even love the Lord. You can get in touch with your gifting and not walk in love.
You can let ministry identify you, and your heart can be a wreck, and you could sleep with somebody on the team when you're married and still think you're praising the Lord.
How about getting real on Sunday morning? Is it all right? Y'all all right? Woo! And I'll tell you, the devil isn't impressed with that kind of church, and the world will never change through that kind of church because it reveals we don't even see. You want to get in this place where you wake up every morning, you commune with him and talk to him because he's there, I promise. Well, I don't feel him. Shh, settle down. He's there. And it just by shall live by faith, and you ought to be appreciative of faith. You know why? Faith separates you from feelings and emotions, and that's what we've been driven by our whole lives. When you live by the Spirit, you live by faith. When you live by the flesh, you live by emotions. Just because you ain't feeling good doesn't mean you're doing good. When you ain't believing good, you ain't doing good. Feelings can change. Whoever learned they're a dime a dozen? They're frantic, they're chaotic, they're schizophrenic. Well, I just don't feel. And now because you're leaning on him, you're panicking. You can't even hardly express yourself right because you're already freaking out in your soul. Well, I've been praying and praying, and I don't know. Well, God just never. Relax. Chill out. I promise you, he's here. Yeah, but I. Come on. You know what I'm talking about. Isn't that amazing? You can see the perversion in the fall of man. He says love lays down its life for another, and we've all lived at the expense of each other at some level. You're in a family of four. You throw an attitude that puts pressure on the other three. You're living at their expense. You ain't adding to the family. You're making a draw on the family. You're costing everyone. You just whatever, stroll to your room, shut your door, and people trying to get you out, and you won't even talk. Come on, get over yourself. Get in Jesus. You ain't helping the family. This thing ain't all about you. It's about him in you. And if you miss that, you'll miss the reason you're here. And that's why life feels miserable and frustrating. The reason life is a grind to people is because they're living it outside of the why they're here. God will never fill your gas tank to travel roads you were never called to travel. You're in your own strength when you're living outside of him. Technically, we all know that, but most of us have lived that and experienced that. I'm just putting a little definition to it. People irritated, frustrated, hearing a man like me, and you'd rather slap me, punch me, and knock me out than say amen. That just means you've been on so many wrong roads. You've got your resume built by all the things that happened and unfolded. You probably even have issues with God. You are way deluded and deceived in that thing. And I'm not being mean. I'm actually being gentle. You're way deceived in that thing. Because he's the only one good that paid a price to get you out of that place. And you're building your whole identity around that place. I've pastored people and watched them find permission to stay where they're at when it ain't producing life. Sharing facts. Boy, you better be glad Jesus didn't come up in your life and share facts. Well, the reason I don't love you is because. And then when I gave you revelation and the ability to change, you didn't. And the reason I don't care anymore is because. I wonder if Jesus walked up in your life and did that. See? We say, well, he ain't never going to do that. I know, because he's love, and he called you to follow him, and he made you for his image, and he said, the things I do, you'll do if you believe. He's the firstborn among many brethren.
We're the body of Christ. So where do we get this idea that he's this way, and we're this way, and we got to just get through, and thank God he considers us. This is us. This is him. Whoa.
What's follow me mean? What's 1 John 2 mean? Anybody that says he abides in him ought to walk even as he walked. What's walk in the light as he's in the light mean? What's all that mean? Is that just amen, hallelujah on a Sunday? Or is that the answer for life? Come on, I'm not being mean. I can feel it sharp. It's sharp. I can feel it sharp.
But it don't hurt. It's just convicting. Conviction is good. Conviction means shine light upon. Whoa, yeah, ooh, ah. And then right when you're thinking, yeah, that man, he just spouting off, it's easy. He don't know what I've been through. And then I'll say something that confronts that or answers that while you're thinking that. And he'd be like, I wonder if God hears my thoughts. Probably. Yep. It's amazing how we build a case in our mind to stay where we're at when where we're at isn't producing life. It's amazing how the highest place we elevate to and the highest grace we receive is that somebody cares about how I feel and what I'm going through. That is not where you're called to live. Getting somebody to feel sorry for you will never make you whole. The last thing you need is sympathy. It's the loneliest party you've ever attended. And the only people that attend that party with you is people that agree with how you feel and stay there with you and support you to remain there. And 5 years later, you're still talking about what went down. Come on, it's all right if somebody just talks about it and gets real. And I understand people have done some terrible things, made some horrible choices. But God has done something amazing in the face of it all. And he said, how about you coming out from among them? How about you not being conformed to the world, but transformed by thinking like you've never thought before? That's what the renewing of your mind means. Thinking like you've never thought before. Why don't you be transformed by coming over here in my mind, seeing things the way I do, seeing things the way I do that put me here. Because if I didn't see the way I do, I wouldn't be here. Guys, they did him wrong. Don't you ever forget this. Watch this. He's God. Who knows he's God? Who knows he always was and is to come? Who knows that he was there in the beginning with the Father and nothing wasn't made that wasn't made through him? Who knows that scripture? And yet this God, this one, almighty, all powerful, all knowing, says, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll let Holy Spirit put me in the womb of a woman, inside a human being. I'll camp out there for 9 months just like they do. I'll come forth in due time through her birth canal. I'll suck her breasts. I'll poop in my diaper. I'll become a man. Come on, this is more than inconvenience. This is love beyond description. This is God rescuing humanity. This is God saying, I made him for so much more. I can't allow him to live in this darkness. I'm going to come as a light. God became a man to fulfill what man failed, to restore man back to the starting block and get us back to the Father and give us life again. And you think I'm going to have a bad attitude today? You think I'm going to say, well, he shouldn't have said, well, I don't know why they said, well, I'm hurt. Well, somebody needs to deal with it. Not today, friend. Tomorrow ain't the right day either. I came to Jesus, and you know what he told me to do? He didn't say, pray a prayer and ask me into your heart. He didn't say, pray a prayer and get your name in the book called life. I understand the book of life is mentioned in the Bible, but Jesus didn't make that the goal. Jesus said, if you're going to come after me, you got to deny yourself because you were never made for you. It's the biggest problem on the planet. Men living for themselves when they're made for God's image. It's the root of every problem we're facing. It's the root of every dilemma we're facing. Man waking up every day living for himself when he's made for God's image. Here's a bigger dilemma. The church doing that. Being a Christian for themselves. Being a Christian for their own gain. Being a Christian for their own provision, their own blessing, their own protection. Instead of being a Christian to shine as a light and become love. We don't need more people to attend church. We need people to pursue Christ and become disciples. I'm going to get done early. I feel so done already. It's amazing. I feel like God said what he wanted to say this morning.
Guys, don't hear this harsh. It's not harsh. It's what you're created for. It's what you're called to. Jesus put himself in the womb of a woman. How about that?
The Son of God came and said, Son of Man.
Raised from the dead and kept his body. Told his disciples. He kept his body. King of kings, Lord of lords, name above every name, heaven and earth and under the earth. Going to bow. Going to confess. Period. He is Lord. And he still kept his body. Why? So he can represent you and me before the throne. Through his own shed blood on the mercy seat. A man. The man. Capital M. Capital A. Capital N. Jesus Christ. Sitting at the right hand of God, making mediation for all men. Saying, I love them. I created them for something. I called them for something. And I paid the price for them to get back to that something. Let's not make it something else. You get it? And now he's sitting there. As I'm speaking, he's there. Ooh! That's why I have access to God. That's why my heart's so excited. That's why he's inside me and you, because he's sitting there right now.
His love ain't never going to fail. He ain't going to change his mind. 1,000,000 years from now, I know it sounds ludicrous and crazy and we can't wrap our mind around it, but 1,000,000 years from now, what is that? I don't know. Let's just say 1,000 years from now. He ain't going to say, Dan Moeller to the front. Yes, Lord. I've been thinking. He ain't going to do it. He says, I love that boy. I know why I made him. I know who he is. And my whole goal is getting him to see who he is in me and who I am in him so he can live fruitful and bear witness of my name and we can rejoice about it forever. That's why everybody in this room is on the planet. There isn't a mistake on the earth, I promise you. There's a time to be born. You got 500 million sperm cells racing for one egg. And only one gets the gold medal. There ain't no silver. There ain't no bronze. You got 5 million sperm cells. Boom. Gone. Heading for one destination. And that one was you. And you're going to get tricked into it because somebody rejected you, because somebody bullied you, because your dad was so lost he wasn't there for you. You're going to get so deceived that you're going to weigh your value by natural life and identify yourself through your story. And the whole time Jesus saying, call no man on earth your father. You got one father. He's in heaven. Your roots, your identity, your purpose, your value goes way back before you can remember. 500 million sperm cells racing. See, I got that vision in prayer. You might not believe me. I was in my bedroom in prayer. I was just saved. I saw this thing. It looked like a hexagon-sided golf ball. And I knew, it's just God does things. It's just funny. He's humorous to me. He knows how to relate to you, right? And I knew as soon as I saw it, that it was inside my mother and it was an egg. I just knew it. I can't explain it. I just knew it. I said, what? And then I saw all these little balloons. Swimming in a school like salmon. In the current. And they're all heading to that little hexagon golf ball. And I was praying. My eyes were closed. It wasn't open vision. My eyes were closed and I just stopped praying and I saw this vision acting out. I knew exactly what I was watching. I was overwhelmed by it. And I literally, it's so comical. I saw myself in a little life raft. Now I don't even wear sunglasses. I don't even enjoy sunglasses. I just like this. But I had sunglasses on for some reason. I had a cup with a little bent straw. It was like a veggie tail. You ain't got no arms. You're a balloon. You're a balloon with a string. And you're sitting in a raft with no hands holding the cup, drinking a straw. And I had one arm.
Everybody's way out ahead of me, swimming to the destiny. And I was using one arm. I was backstroking up the current. That was my vision from the Lord. I told this vision in a Methodist church. The youngest person was probably 70. Anyway. I messed with them Methodist folks that day. I was talking about losing innocence and how we got to get back to innocence. And I said how the nakedness and the thing in the Bible in Genesis. I said, I'll tell you what. I said, you'll find out how self-conscious you are. I said, if all your clothes right now just disappeared and you're just sitting there with nothing, you'll find out. And they were like, what is he preaching? So I was going up this thing. Birth canal of my mama. Big straw. I was hydrated. I was smooth, man. I was going. I had my glasses on. They look good on that little balloon. I got up there. And when I got up there, it was a sea of little balloons with strings. It was just a sea. I could just see the top of the egg. And it was just a sea. And when I got up there, they split like the sea. My little raft went right through them. No, it's true. It's how I saw it. And when I got right up on the egg, I stood up and my little string went like that and went twing, and I backflipped into the egg. Zoom, right in the egg. When I got up there, I'm not playing. I saw this. And the Lord was teaching me to never be deceived and question my value. Daddy drunk, mom sick, city life, stuff. Touched wrong, young age, stuff. Friends, drugs, dying, stuff. He's telling me none of that has anything to do with who you are. I get in that egg. I get up there. It was the most comical vision I've ever had in my life. The little squigglies. The little balloon guys, they had safety goggles on. They had saws that were smoking, drills that were bent. They was trying to get in the egg. And their drill would just bend. Their saw would just smoke and the teeth would fall off. I got up there. They were all weary. I finally got up there. I was going against the current with one arm. Drank my whole iced tea probably. I got up there. They was frustrated. They couldn't get in the egg. I just went pew. And they were all standing there, and I heard them saying, how'd he do that? How'd he just get in that egg? How'd he? And from inside the egg, I heard this voice yelling real loud. It had an echoey sound because it was down inside the egg. Said, because it was me before the foundation of the world, hand chosen and hand picked by Almighty God, known before I was ever known, seen before I was ever seen. There is a time to be born. Wow! That'll fix your identity. That'll make bullying and nitpicking and people not looking at you cool seem a whole lot less important. Not that you get hard, and I don't care what people think. No, when you talk like that, you've done cared a long time ago. You're hiding behind language. Your heart's a mess. That's why you live secluded. That's why you have 4 dogs and 6 cats. And you say, I just love animals. No, you can't handle people. And it's your escape because they'll never hurt you. It's your unconditional love arena. It's a smokescreen. I'm not saying everybody has a ton of pets is that way, but I'll tell you, there's a whole bunch of them. There's a whole bunch of them getting real close to critters, treating critters way better than they'd ever treat a person. Uh-oh. People selling their pets now. They're getting on eBay right now. 6 dogs for sale. In fact, they're free. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I'm just playing. I'm not saying it's everybody. Well, I'm saying you can genuinely love animals, but I pastored for a long time. You got to understand some things about me. I've been in the middle of a whole lot of stuff because I've been a very active lover of people. And I've been in the middle of a whole lot of stuff. And you see stuff and you learn stuff and you realize stuff and you go, wow. And all of a sudden you realize people are carrying pain because they've been tricked into me, myself, and I. And even when they come to God, it's just all about them feeling better or God taking care of their problems, meaning people. No, he wants to take out your pain by getting you to think and see from a whole different place than you've ever lived. Where this really isn't about you at all. It's about his great name. And he gave you this one little window called life. Not to covet it. Not to fear through it. Not to try to make it. Not to get sentimental and spend it with emotion. But to give it back to him. So that who he is can shine through you and you live it for what it's here for. That's where you'll find the greatest freedom you'll ever know. That's where you'll know peace for sure. That's where freedom is more than a song. Can you see passion in me? It's because everything I'm saying is everything I've been living for 26 years and I hardly know how to communicate it anymore because it's almost bigger than words. But it's in me and I enjoy it daily. It isn't because everybody's doing me right. It ain't because my kids made all the perfect decisions. You weren't there when my wife was in identity crisis. And lasted 8 years and wouldn't come to church when I'm full-time pastor. You weren't there when mama died of sickness. You weren't there when my kids ran wild. But when you look at me, you can't see none of that. Because you ain't supposed to, because none of that decides who I am or how I am.
Yay.
So I'm going to pray for y'all and be done early. I was real early. I took 12 more minutes, brother. He said, 11:40, 11:45. This is a special day for you, girl. We just going to get it rolling. I said plenty. You done heard the gospel, right? You think I said plenty, don't you? Yeah. I'm going to bounce it off somebody that shines. They're going to know. I'm going to ask somebody that shines. I'm going to ask somebody that's like,
I'm waiting for you to get done.
Y'all good? Watch this. Simple challenge. There ain't nothing I preach that you can't live when you wrap faith and sincerity around it and get along with God. There ain't nothing I preach that you can't live no matter how anybody's acting or what they're doing. Don't tell me you can't walk in love. Jesus did an amazing job and said, follow me. He didn't get on that cross and say, can you believe this? What a bunch of idiots. I've been preaching truth for them for 3 years. They're so blind, so deceived, they can't even hear it. God, what hope do we have that they'll ever change? I was here in person. If they didn't get it now, they ain't going to get it then. I don't think I want to go through with this, man. In fact, I'm a little ticked off, man. Look what they've done to me. Look how they've rejected me. Look how they backed at me. You let me hear all their faults. It wasn't cool. That would have been us. That's why it was him hanging there. We've been through so far less and think we got a problem. I would encourage you today to get back to following Jesus and make your life matter for his name's sake for all time. You don't want to walk into heaven in the light of his glory and everything's exposed and go, oops, I was thinking wrong. Oops, I didn't capitalize on my moment. You want to walk in there and be excited that you did the best you understood and mercy and grace empowered you and you left the legacy and he'll scoop you up in his hand. I believe this. See this stuff, man. He'll say, hey, this is my son or this is my daughter. And then he'll share this natural story. They were faced with this and challenged with it, but they kept their eyes on me, surrendered, loved not their life. And because of that, they this and this and this. It'll be like a Hebrews patriarch of faith story. And all of heaven is roaring, giving glory to the Son. And then you're going to cast your crown and you're just going to kneel. Yay, God.
Yeah? And then next, we might just do that for 1,000 years. Y'all good?
I'm going to pray. I'm not going to do no ministry, no nothing. I'm just going to pray. You got the word this morning. Father, I just thank you for grace in this house. Father, I know there's people from all around too. It's not just this house, but this house and all around. Let this revelation be a revelation we live, we experience, and not just talk about. Let us find grace today, each and every individual heart, to find the adjustments in God and go after you with a whole heart. Help us, Holy Spirit, and teach us what it really looks like to love and keep showing us Jesus clear. We're going to follow you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.